Welcome to Off Leash Podcast with Dr. Pete. I'm Dr. Pete, and we're glad you joined us today. Just want you to remember, we're here to be an advocate for your pet. We may not say what you want us to say, but we're going to be advocate for your pet.
That's right. And I am the co-host, Molly Van Vranken, joining us today. And we have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about.
Cool.
So let's get right into it. Old dogs, new tricks.
Old dogs, new tricks. So that's what's going to happen here fairly soon. And I'm not sure everybody knows this, but veterinarians, most of us are required to have continuing ed. But there's a whole bunch of us that really exceed what we're supposed to get for continuing ed because that's our thing. We want to end up knowing as much as we can know. In fact, a lot of us are worried about not knowing everything, and obviously nobody's going to know everything. So I just was at VMAX down in Florida, which is the North American Veterinary Conference, and boy, that place was packed.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of new stuff going on, and you know, lots of veterinary celebrities. There's veterinary celebrities, believe it or not. And
how many veterinary celebrities are there?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
I know Dr. Pohl.
Yeah,
that's
Dr. Pohl. I didn't see him.
No, I didn't either.
No, but this is more the fairly advanced academic community. I mean, a lot of people show up to this. And listen, Dr. Pohl could have very well been there. I didn't see him. But
it was just a mass of people.
Yeah, there's people. I have a friend named Freddie Metzger. Freddie shows up for a lot of stuff and works for I think Antec he works for now, which is one of the places where we send biopsies. And he does little things on reading blood work and the things you're seeing. And you may not be seeing what you think you're seeing. And so he kind of gives you a bunch of different situations, you know, sort of a case-by-case thing. And I really enjoy that. When I go to a meeting, I enjoy the case-by-case stuff. That's a lot of fun. But I'm going to get ready to go now to this one, which is used to be called the Ohio Veterinary Medical Association event, but now it's called Midwest Veterinary Conference. It'll be in Ohio. And I've gone to that one for a number of years because I can actually drive to that one.
It's not too far, four hours.
No, it's not too far. No, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing. And just to give you an idea what the schedule looks like for one day, so I don't have to go to just one meeting. I can figure out what I'm interested in. Some of the stuff I'm not interested in.
How many meetings are there a day?
You have six meetings a day, and they're all about an hour. And then you have a couple-hour break for lunch. But then they have a nice exhibit hall where you can go see where everybody's new equipment.
And we will be exhibiting there as Voyager Dog Food. Well, I shouldn't say we, I. You will be going to meetings.
It's kind of a car show for veterinarians. But
that's right.
You know, you go in and look at all the cars, and they're obviously all polished up and everything. But this is one day right here. This is Friday right here. This is a lot of stuff. And that's what we go for. And I think I've talked about this before maybe, but you don't always find out that you were wrong on anything, but there's ways to improve certain things you do. And so that's always there's not a lot of 180 stuff. It's like they have all this down and you knew most of it. And a lot of times you're just going in and listen to stuff and it's like, yeah, that's kind of the way I see this. But they'll give you a few pearls or little tips.
Yeah.
And that's what I said, show me a parlor trick when I go to these meetings, because then that I take that trick home and I use that. It's not a trick, but it's something I know that I can share with clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've talked about that before. You know, what I sell as a veterinarian is information and peace of mind. That's what everybody sells. But the more you know, the bigger your inventory is.
That's true.
I like to show up with a decent inventory if I'm going to.
How many veterinarians get bent out of shape over some of the stuff that they talk about in these meetings?
Well, I think we disagree sometimes with things they say. And you can, and really, that's really the art form right there. Let's say you go to a meeting, you get 10 ideas. You come back and institute all 10 of them, and two of them sucked. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I'm not going to do that again. That was
right.
That did not work at our practice. Doesn't mean it doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
Just didn't work. Didn't work for us. So I think that's what you do. You kind of figure out what works, what doesn't work, and that may take you. You may learn something at a meeting and come home. It may take you a year to figure out whether that individual, he or she, knew what mm-hmm. they were talking about. I'm sure they knew what they were talking about. They wouldn't be there. So there's a certain amount of this stuff that's. This is your view of this. This is your view of that. So,
then
what you try to do, I'm in a practice with nine other veterinarians. Then what you try to do, if you find something that works, you try to share it with the nine veterinarians you work with. And you hope that wherever they went, they share the nine things with you. that they learned, or the 10 things or the 15 things, whatever.
Yeah.
So we kind of play off each other and kind of try to help each other. And I guess the term's collaborate. So yeah, we collaborate with one another. But I don't know that everybody really realizes that the veterinarians go for that much continuing ed.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that. No.
In fact, I'm not sure I even understand that with, I'm thinking about the family dentist. Does a dentist go do that? I'm sure they do, because they have dental conventions.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess I thought maybe they were still fixing cavities the same way they fixed them 40 years ago when I had them, or 60 years ago, or whatever it was, when you had cavities. And so are they doing it different? Probably they are. Yeah. Is it better? Probably it is. And all to your benefit. So.
Yeah, the stuff that they learn in the continuing ed is quite interesting. Yeah. I think I sat in on two meetings the last time we went to Ohio, and it was very enlightening. Over my head, a lot of it.
Yeah, well, some of it's way over our head, but sometimes you kind of investigate it, and you have these sometimes these notes, or you can watch it on video and then rewatch it on video. And then you're like, okay, I get what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really, I mean, the sort of stuff we do with the dog food thing is the same way. It's this copper storage thing. Most veterinarians don't see it. It sees them, but they don't see it.
Yeah.
And so that's the art form is, and somebody will, I'm not sure whether anybody's going to talk about that at this meeting, but I've been to a number of meetings where they did talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. When we were down in Florida, I had quite a few people that walked by our booth, Voyager Dog Food, and I tried to tell them about the copper storage disease, and I never heard of it. And then they'd come back after one of the meetings, because I think they had a few meetings on.
They had one meeting, and there was a veterinarian there from Michigan State who'd done her work at Colorado State, where Dr. Tweed is, and he was kind of at the forefront of a lot of this and stuff. Yeah. So it's really, and really what's going to happen here is he educated her. She'll educate us.
Yeah.
Or he may come and educate us firsthand. But really what it has to do is it has to be part of the conversation.
It does. Yeah. But I definitely had a lot of people after that meeting come back out, and they're like, I heard about copper contents in dog food and how it causes chelated copper in the liver. And I was like, oh, good. So I think that people really take to heart what they say in those meetings.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to stick because, you know, what we do is, you know, like if I think a dog has kidney failure, I just run blood test and the kidney failure pops up. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know how to treat the kidney failure. Well, it's a simple test. It was like, maybe $15, $20, $25, $30 for the blood test to figure out that this dog has kidney failure. The liver biopsy, on the other hand, could be between $3,000 and $4,000. And that's where the rub comes, because I don't think everybody thinks that maybe I ought to try a little deep penicillamine on my dog because he had this. And so most veterinarians aren't going to give deep penicillamine unless they have the biopsy in hand.
Right.
If they have this report and they're looking at the report and it says this dog has copper storage disease, they'll go do what needs to be done.
Right.
But if they don't have it, and that's maybe what we need to talk about a little bit sometimes with copper storage is, you know, sometimes if your ALT is high, that's a liver enzyme, and your dog's losing weight, if it's not losing weight, it's not that big a deal right now. You have to figure it out, but it's not that big a deal right now. When they start losing weight, and that's sometimes what happens, they'll drop from, I just looked at a dog sitting the other day, dropped from 45 to 40 pounds. That dog need to be, if they didn't have the money to do the liver biopsy, they needed to do the deep penicillamine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to make it. That was
just
making,
to see if the ALT changes.
Yeah. And then all you do is you put them on 30 days worth, and then you go back to your veterinarian's office and you recheck your ALT. Did the ALT come down, or what happened there?
All trial and error. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see what you learn at the Ohio meeting.
Well, I am too.
Maybe we can talk about it on the next podcast.
Sure. Yeah. You know, and maybe we can and maybe we can't, because lots of times if I come back with an idea, I'll have to prove or disprove it. So we may not talk about that idea until a year from now when we figured out whether it helped or not, didn't help.
Fair enough.
Because the last thing you want to do is start talking about something that's incorrect, and you just don't know.
Yeah,
it's all put on by human beings. Are we all correct all the time? No, not at all.
Exactly.
Yep. It's you know, they call this veterinary practice. It's practice for a reason. You know, it's the reason golfers get good, because they practice a lot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's the reason guitar players are good, because they practice a lot. It's why piano players are good, because they practice a lot. So your chiropractor's practicing. Your dentist is practicing, your podiatrist is practicing, and your veterinarian's practicing. So we're all practicing to become better.
Mm-hmm.
We just hate to think that, you know, you're somebody's tee shot that, and they've only been doing this for a year or so.
Yeah. Well, let's get into Canine Chronicles, which is news in the dog food world.
News in the dog food world. Well, I'm trying to think how much news there is in the dog food world there. And I hate to bring up the copper thing, but that's been brought up now with AFCO, and they're trying to figure out if they're going to put a lid on this, how much copper's in dog food. And that's what's going on now. So there's debate between the internists, the veterinary internists, the boarded people, the people with DVM behind their name, and then a whole lot of other letters behind their name too, are going to try to tell people. And here's the problem is that AFCO, if you're in the state of, let's say you're in the state of Oregon, you have an AFCO representative from your state. I don't know what your AFCO person, what he or she did. She may work for a feed company. She may work for a mill. She might work for somebody that's in the food industry. Do they have enough training to make a decision on what to do, yes or no, on these things? Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And so you have to have these people that lead you. They have to give, this is basically Perry Mason thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a trial. Do we have enough evidence to convict the copper of doing this? You have a signed confession here. I mean, we know that copper's doing this. Does that mean that the jury's going to find him guilty? I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
you don't know until.
Yeah, so it's, and that's an hour episode. And believe me, the copper thing's a hell of a lot more than an hour episode.
Exactly. Well, the other thing that we can address is we are going down to the Global Pet Expo, mm-hmm. which is in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always interesting to go to. You've been to it years prior. I went a year ago, mm-hmm. I believe. And it was just so much information.
Yeah, there's too much stuff. And unfortunately, some of the people in the booths. I went to a booth one day, and just for the record, folks, I'm going to tell you, fipronil, at least where I live, doesn't kill fleas anymore. At least it doesn't kill fleas efficiently enough to be marketed. But I still see ads for it all the time. Frontline this, frontline that,
yeah.
frontline this, frontline that. The trusted name of Frontline. Well, it was a trusted name at one time. It doesn't work very well anymore. So why they're advertising, I'm not really sure. But anyway, this guy had a booth. He was selling generic fipronil. And I'm like, hey, dude, here's the deal. We did a cat study. And this is 5 years ago. And I said, we couldn't get fipronil, once a month to kill fleas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, no, that's not true. I'm like, oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
That's true. You know, and really what we were doing the study, we're doing it, I think we were using the oral pill from Novartis. At the time, is that right? Elanco, excuse me.
Yeah.
We're doing a Elanco study, and the Elanco pill worked really well. And then you have what you call your positive control. So in other words, 3/4 of the cats were on the Elanco drug, and then 1/4 of them were on Frontline Plus, and then that was really deemed to be positive control. A positive control. Negative control is where you would have gotten water to put on the cat. But a positive control means it's another existing treatment that works. So you're comparing how this works with something that has been working in the past. Well, it didn't work. And we were really embarrassed when we got done with the study because the Frontline didn't kill fleas anymore.
Right.
So when we see the ad on TV now.
Just because they got immune to it.
Right, they got immune to it. And they had this ad on TV. And if I'm sitting there with my wife, I always go, they're running the ad, and they're going, they got all the dogs running around, they're getting Frontline on them, and I always make the joke afterwards that there were no Frontline, or there were no fleas injured in the filming of this commercial.
No.
But it's just the way the world works. I mean, the stuff I used when I got out of school doesn't work anymore. The stuff I used 10 years after I got out of school doesn't work anymore. Stuff I used 25 years after school doesn't work anymore.
And they're always innovating and coming up with
Or it
new
wasn't
stuff.
Safe. I mean, a lot of stuff wasn't safe back then.
What was that commercial back in the day that the dog singing, there ain't no bugs on me?
I think that might have been Advantage. Advantage doesn't work. It still works a little bit, I think, but I couldn't tell you what that is. But anyway.
I love that commercial. I don't know who's.
The stuff we have now, the orals and the topical Bravecto and Simparica and all, the Credelio, NexGard, that works.
I use Simparica Trio. I think it works well. Because I don't like giving the separate.
It works today.
Today.
Yep.
Same day.
And it'll probably work. No.
Same day?
No. It'll work. It'll kill everything the same day. But it works in this point in time. How long before tolerance develops to this drug? I can't tell you. I don't think it'll be an hour from today, but I mean, as you go into the future.
So it's inevitable that
yeah,
they're
it's
just
inevitable.
Gonna,
we're going to, I mean,
I didn't
listen,
know that.
Yeah. So we're going to use this. I mean, listen, when they invented antibiotics, you know, they used that. Gee whiz. I mean, I heard a guy tell me the story, a physician tell me that the first case of penicillin he used on somebody had gonorrhea. And they said they only gave him a few hundred thousand units of it, which is almost nothing nowadays. And he said he walked in the hospital. They thought the guy was going to die. And they walked in the next day and sitting up in bed screaming for breakfast. And so it was like, wow. I mean, I'm sure he remembers what floor he was on and what the guy looked like,
yeah.
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then as time went on, they had to use more and more and more of it. And I want to say penicillin was probably invented in the late 1930s, something like that, because we had it for World War II, so we could treat our people that got injured or
yeah.
wounded in World War II. But time went on, we had to make more drugs.
Right.
Okay? And we make more drugs, and the bugs get resistant to it.
Is this just with flea and tick stuff, or is this with anything?
Well, this is with this is with antibiotics. This was with, you know, I don't think they get, you know, like if you're using an antihistamine, we still use the same antihistamine we used 50 years ago. So antihistamines still work. They don't. There's not a resistance to that. But where you have an infectious disease, and I'm really talking about, you know, bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Bacteria really have a propensity to do that. Yeast infections, not so much. We're still using some of the same things for yeast now that we've used for years. And it's gotten a little less expensive because it's become generic.
Right.
So we're having good luck with what we're doing. But we're just going to have to go ahead and remember that this is just going to be one of those things that things are going to change. It's not going to remain the same all mm-hmm. the time, but things are going to change.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Well, Ben's going to join us for a quick segment of customer reviews.
Okay, good.
Client report. All right, Ben, what do you got for us?
Perfect. So I got a short and sweet one that we got the other day because I thought this one was a little unique because it's about Great Danes. So typically, I'd say that you probably don't get a lot of Great Danes that nope. have copper storage disease or nope. those kind of issues.
You know what, though? I mean, we see it in all dogs now.
We are. But this was one that this is probably the first one that I've had a customer reach out about with a Great Dane that was having some issues. So the email reads, "We wanted to email to give a big thanks to you and your company. One of our Danes suffers from an excess of copper. We had tried a natural diet, which didn't go well for his skin. He's doing very well on your food. Our orders come super fast, and I can't tell you how happy we've been since finding your company." And then she included a couple pictures of her, too. One of the Great Danes is named Pete, and the other's named Moose.
Oh, my.
Yep.
What was the other one named?
Pete and Moose.
Moose. Aw. I love Great Danes.
But yeah, so they're really cute dogs, for sure.
We just have to hire somebody here named Moose, I guess.
But, I guess so.
Yeah. He probably won't be a tiny guy, will he?
No, he'd probably have to be a pretty big one, I think.
Size. Yeah. Oh, well, that's amazing. I love always hearing the good reviews
yep.
that we get on our products.
Yeah, we get a lot of those, and we're not going to sit here and read those over and over and over and over again, but Ben shares them with me from time to time, and always makes me feel good that we're doing what we should do.
Absolutely. And just reaching out and answering the questions. A lot of people are just happy that we're super transparent with information. You know, if anybody has any questions at all, we're always happy to help out in any way and try to provide as much information to solve any problems, if it's related to diet or even something else. I mean, you're always willing to call a client or a customer and talk to them or talk them through some problems. So
yeah.
It's a good thing.
And for any Voyagers listening, if you buy the food, Ben is always the one that calls back.
Sure.
So Ben is a wonderful customer service representative.
Well, the dance begins when their veterinarians told them to do something, and then I look at the blood work and the data and everything, and I'm like, you know, we should probably think maybe about another thing or something different. So I have to be careful not to step on anybody's toes. But in the end, it's all about the pet. And so
right.
I guess you do whatever you got to do, you know, to help the pet out, because sometimes I might disagree with the dosage, or I might disagree with the length of time they're doing something, you know, that sort of stuff. And you know, most of that time, most of the time you got an idea, and you have an idea. You've seen this situation before numerous times, and you know the way to get out of it. But they're kind of like in a corn maze, and they're trying right. to figure out to get to daylight. And
to find the best solution for the problem.
Yeah, and that's a problem. And so I would apologize to any veterinarian I ever offended with what we've, the information or the suggestions we've done for people, but in the end, it's all about the pet.
Ben, we have any other updates about the company?
Nope. I think that, you know, everything's going really, really well. And we're just, you know, like I said, if there's ever any questions about the food or anything, we're always here to help answer those.
Awesome. And you're free to go, or if you want to stick around, guys. Up to you. All right. Now we're going to get into our next segment.
I don't have anybody to look at while I talk.
No.
Okay.
You just got me now.
I got you.
All right. Now we're going to...
Sonny and Cher. Anyway.
Actually, that's a good segment because we're going to get into our rock and roll history.
Sure.
So I was in Peoria, Illinois this past weekend, and I got to see a Fleetwood Mac tribute
band. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And they gave a bunch of history about the band, which I just thought was extremely interesting.
Well, they were started when I was in high school. And so they're probably maybe even a little bit older than I am. And, I like their stuff, although I've never bought anything of theirs. And I think that that's one of those things where I'm not sure exactly why. But nonetheless, I've been to, when I was, Sharon and I have been to Hawaii before, and we usually stay on the island of Maui.
Mm-hmm.
And Mick Fleetwood had a restaurant there. Yeah, yeah, really, really nice restaurant within. And listen, this guy had a ton of memorabilia in this thing. Old albums, gold albums, drum kits. This belonged to that. This guitar was played by that guy. And, mm-hmm. and I got a feeling this all got incinerated when Lahaina went up, because yeah. that's where his restaurant was. And we would go up to happy hour in the middle of the week in the afternoon around 4 o'clock. And then they'd always have somebody up there entertaining for a couple hours, you know, somebody sitting up there singing by themselves. And it was a lot of fun.
Always good bands.
Yeah, good bands. And a lot of people showed up. There was a lot of interaction with the crowd.
I love Fleetwood Mac's music. Yep. I didn't realize how many songs of theirs that I knew, but didn't.
Well,
I'll play some. I never saw
Mick Fleetwood in there, but certainly this place was like maybe half a block off the ocean. Yeah, so.
I didn't realize that they sang this song.
Oh, yeah.
I love this
song.
They
do a ton of stuff. Yep. And so they're from my generation all day. I don't know that they tour anymore at all. Do they tour at all?
Stevie Nicks tours. Yeah. She's actually coming to Grand Rapids.
Is she? Okay.
But how old is she now?
She's got to be. She's got to be mid-70s or better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'm sure she spends a little money keeping herself up. But you know, and you wouldn't have to. And you got to be 75 or whatever.
Well, you were the one that just told me that the whole band was couples.
Yeah, well, there were a couple of couples in the band. And I'm trying to think of that in my own mind, what it would be like to work with. You know, it's one thing, like two couples go on vacation. Usually 7 days is plenty. Two couples together.
But through a tour.
Doing 52 weeks a year for a decade, and then another decade, and then another decade. I'm sure, I think we've all seen the history of the Eagles and all that sort of stuff, and Leonard Skinner, and I think they all wanted to choke each other half the time. And they do well when they get initiated into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They're all buddy-buddy then, but I think there's a lot of, you know, it's creative differences. People want to do this, and people want to do that. I was a band in college, you know, and the one young lady wanted to play this, and the guy wanted to play, he played the organ, so he wanted to do all the songs. They had, you know, extensive organ leads in them and stuff, and so, you know, the rest of us were like, well, let's just do stuff that's fun to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's a, be honest with you, in bands, as far as I'm concerned, if you're doing something that's fun to do, then it looks like it's fun to do when you're doing it. And if you're happy doing it, then the crowd will get jazzed when you're doing stuff. And we used to change words to songs, and usually lots of times we were playing fraternities or ski lodges or something like that. Those people had enough to drink, they didn't even know what the words were. You'd go on break and they'd be like, I didn't know that's what the words were to this.
Like, you're like, no, I changed
them. No, that's not the words to that. I just changed those words, you know.
Well, wasn't it like when Stevie Nicks left the band, it was pretty much the end of Fleetwood?
Yeah, I guess. I didn't follow them, but I mean, they had their things back and forth.
I didn't realize how much drama was in this band.
Oh, yeah.
How they wrote, because who was the guy that was dating Stevie Nicks?
Let's see, Mick Fleetwood? Or not Mick Fleetwood, but Lindsey Buckingham.
Lindsey Buckingham, because he wrote Go Your Own Way about Stevie when she broke off from the band.
Yep.
And then Stevie wrote Silver Springs about him because he cheated on her.
Yep. Well, whatever. I've made that reference before that, you know, if you're writing songs, a lot of them are about getting the brown helmet.
Dumped.
Yeah, getting crapped on by your significant other. That's where the brown helmet thing comes in.
So. I just think that that's like another level of petty. Because I showed you the video of her singing that with him on stage. And she turns from the camera directly to him and sings it directly to him.
She's playing to the crowd.
Yeah, yep. It was funny.
Okay. Well, I don't know whether Mick Fleet was going to build his place up, but I bet he's 80 years old now, maybe.
Oh, I bet.
Yep, so I doubt it.
Love it. Love Fleetwood Mac. Love all their songs. All right, now let's go to our next segment of information and peace of mind.
Okay, so we have this segment every week of Doctor in the House.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys know what happens, but really what happens is people text us questions about things, and I have a minute to answer the question. And unfortunately, some of the topics require more than a minute.
Yeah, they Instagram.
Yes.
So we post on our Instagram
story. Yes, we do. And then when I get done, I always have pangs of anguish that I really didn't explain this the way it should be explained. So one of the questions this week was about anal glands. Well, tell me about anal glands. It was kind of a broad...
I think it was like, my dog has bad anal glands. Yeah, what can I do to prevent... Or well, what diet could I put my dog on to help?
It's a 10-minute answer, folks, and here it comes. And not everybody's dog. So let's talk to the masses. Not every dog has anal gland problems. So if you don't have anal gland problems, this may or may not really be of any real significance to you. But
my dog has anal gland problems. But it's like it's not consistent. It's right. Like on and off.
Right. So I've had one dog that needed to have his anal glands. Remember we had Buddy?
Yeah.
And Buddy needed to have his anal glands expressed all the time.
All the time.
But none of my other dogs have ever had that. So let's talk about anal glands, what they are. So dogs have apocrine glands, three kinds. Sebaceous, which is making wax in your ear. Excuse me. Ceruminous, which is making wax in your ear. Sebaceous, which is making oil on your head or on your skin. And then... dogs have that apocrine gland. The anal gland is an apocrine gland also. So these glands are all producing usually fluids that are made out of triglycerides. So triglycerides are obviously like almost like cheese. So what you're going to see is a cheesy type material in your ears can get decayed, and then you get an ear infection. A cheesy material on your forehead, if you don't bathe often, it can kind of combine with your sweat and a little bit of butyric acid gets built up, and then you have BO, body odor. And so if you're, and I think you've all seen or smelled this before, when somebody bathes every third day and it's muggy out today, and I'm not going to go any further than that. Anal glands, people don't have, but you know who does have anal glands? Cats, skunks, and dogs. I couldn't tell you what other species have anal glands, but certainly the dog one is the one we're talking about. So if you looked at your watch as the rectum, the anal glands are at 4 o'clock and they're at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock and 5 o'clock, in between 4:30 and 7:30. And they're on the outside of the skin right next to the rectum. Okay. What do they do? Well, dogs just, it's a scent gland. It's basically the same thing what it is on a skunk. So that's the thing we're going to see in every dog. And do we pinch every dog's rear end that we see? No, we don't pinch any of them unless the client wants it pinched. And usually the client wants those glands expressed. And usually what you do is you put a glove on. You always put a glove on. Excuse me, let me reference that. You always put a glove on, stick your finger in the rectum, and then squeeze that gland and get the material out of there. Okay. Now, sometimes it comes out as just anal gland material. Smells like hell, but that's all it is. Okay. Sometimes it comes out and there'll be flecks of blood in it or pus or things of that nature. That's an anal gland infection. What do we do for those? We put those dogs on antibiotics, and lots of times we'll infuse that anal gland with a little special syringe and put an antibiotic and an anti-inflammatory in that anal gland itself and flush that in there so that we take care of the infection right where it's at. Most of the time, it's just a little more on one side than it is on the other side. A lot of times, the other side may be perfectly normal. But you do the same thing to the other side. You go in and express that anal gland also. So you're on the inside of the rectum. You just squeeze that gland, and all the stuff comes pouring out. Every once in a while, we're like, wow, that's really hard. I wonder why that's so hard on the left side and not the right side. And you feel it's almost like somebody stuck a lima bean in that anal gland. And come to find out, some of those end up to be apocrine gland adenocarcinomas. They're bad news.
Okay, break that down for me.
It's cancer of the anal gland.
Oh.
Yep. Adeno. Anytime you see carcinoma, that means it's malignant.
Okay.
And then oma, you know, like a lipoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's without the AR stuff.
Is that common in anal glands?
Well, you see it. And you probably see, you know, he's probably in your career, he's going to see about, I'm going to guess you're going to see maybe one every other year or one a year or something like that.
Oh.
We don't keep track of them. So, in that case,
for cancer, they try to like treat it or cut it
surgically,
out?
No, you surgically remove the whole gland.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
Otherwise, that thing will metastasize into the sublumbar lymph nodes. And once it gets in the lymph nodes, you're
toast.
Your goose is cooked, yeah. Sometimes you'll actually kind of see, you're doing blood work on your dog to see how your dog's doing, and then you're just like, you're looking, everything's normal, except your calcium's real high. Wonder why the calcium's real high. First place we go look, anal glands. Make sure you don't have an adenocarcinoma.
Really?
Of the anal glands. That makes the calcium go high.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So that's what we do, and then we'll surgically remove those. Now, is it all as simple as I just made it? No, not at all. So the thing you got to remember here is, lots of times if we have dogs with food allergies, it affects their ears and rears. So lots of times dogs will be rubbing their butt on the floor. They take them in and they express the anal glands, and you know what? They're fine. And then they're not. And then they come back again and they're like, well, it must be you have a chronic inflammation of your apocrine glands back there, your anal glands. And you'll say, well, this is the third or fourth time we've done this. And then sometimes maybe people even suggest we surgically remove those. Come to find out, it's really not the anal glands at all. It's the mucosal membrane there, you know, connecting the inside to the outside of the dog. And really, that's what you're going to see. It's just really like sometimes you get immune-mediated things around your mouth, that sort of thing in dogs. So you see that. So it's kind of like a relative, a first cousin of that.
Mm-hmm.
So then lots of times what we really should do, or what I try to do sometimes, is I may put you on a 15 days of steroids and see if that anal gland goes back to being kind of normal. If it does, then I suspect that you got food allergies. Then I have to do the food allergy thing, you know, and then eventually take you off the steroids and see if that rear end gets better. When we were at VMX down there in Florida, we were next to somebody who had a referral clinic up in New York. And we were talking to them, and the lady says, yeah, I had a dog with really bad anal glands, and I was saving up enough money to get them surgically removed. And then somebody told me maybe I ought to try changing the diet and see if my dog's anal glands got better. So she went and got a hydrolyzed diet, which we talked about before. That's where the proteins are all cut up in little pieces. And then she fed that dog a hydrolyzed diet. She said in 4 weeks it was gone. She hadn't had any problems since then. Now, what we have to tell her is, and make sure you stay on your hydrolyzed diet, water, and then if you're going to give anything, make sure you're going to give treats.
Apples, bananas, carrots.
Yeah, apples, bananas, carrots, cucumbers, and green beans, and ice cubes. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. So you give them this hydrolyzed diet, and now her dog's anal glands are actually perfect.
Yeah.
And the problem here is that she just spent a lot of money getting the anal glands out, and she just still had problems.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the anal glands at all. It was that mucosal membrane back there, you know, where the inside...
That would have sucked.
Well, yeah.
He would have gotten a whole surgery done.
Still licking his rear end and rubbing his rear end. And so everybody knows that those two glands are back there. So they're always gonna try to convict the anal glands of being the reason that dog has, is a pruritic or itchy on the rear end.
Yeah.
Ears and rears. Now, just remember, this isn't always. This is frequently. So that's something, I think we talked about this. I don't use those two words, or I try not to use those words at all. Always, but never. So I never use the word always, never use the word never. I may tell somebody never do this, but I've never seen this. Yeah, I've never seen it because I haven't seen it yet. So when I see it, then I've seen it. And you have to always remember that. And sometimes as veterinarians, we get pretty smug about what we know. We think we've seen everything, think we've done everything. Nope.
Mother There's always something there. That's yeah, going to humble
mother's,
you.
Mother's nature's just waiting to slap the snot out of your face. That's what's going to happen.
There. Yep.
Yep. So anal glands, you know, can be a number of things. And by the way, just for the record, those of you who have, let's say, a lab or a pointer or something like that, and a dog has a long tail, you can express these anal glands yourself. Most people don't want to do it because they
just
think
for
it,
labs?
No, just anything that has a long tail.
Okay.
It's really hard to do on like
dogs with dock tails.
Yeah, like a Boston.
Boykin.
Yeah, Boyston. Yeah, or, yeah. So what you do is the dog stands there, like facing that way. You just take that tail and put it right. We call it putting them in neutral. So you just put
neutral.
You just put it all the way up to where it's standing right straight in the air. You take a paper towel and you go in there, and that'll make that rectum come out like a hot dog. And then you just squeeze the end of the hot dog, and you have all that anal gland stuff right there.
I know all about this because I had to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just make sure you have enough paper towel.
Yeah, make sure you've had your lunch before you do it.
Make sure you do it outside.
Yeah. Make sure you do it outside. And make sure you've had your lunch beforehand, yeah. It's actually a real foul smell. And I've done this for my whole life. It really doesn't bother me anymore. But
It still bothers me every time I have to do it. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
not fun.
The only thing that really bothers me is when we do it in the exam room, and then we just put the paper towel in the wastebasket, because then the paper basket smells.
Yeah.
And then you know, this works. It smells, and then you think you can smell it, and they empty the waste paper basket, and you think you can still smell it.
Yeah.
So now I've got it in my head that I can still smell anal glands.
Yeah.
Can I smell them? No, not really. But
there's a few smells from the clinic that I just, ugh.
That's all right.
Anal glands are one of them. If you ever want to be a veterinarian, you have to...
Yep.
I think that's about the point that I realized I couldn't be a veterinarian, was the smells.
You know what? If you've been a veterinarian for a number of years, you can eat a ham sandwich back there while this stuff's going on, and it doesn't really bother you much.
I don't know
much,
how you do it.
Yeah, I don't eat a ham sandwich back there very often, but it doesn't really kill your appetite. You know, we do something really stinky at 11 o'clock, and I eat a decent-sized lunch at noon. So,
I lost a lot of weight working there because I just couldn't eat. At lunch.
Well, that's what I told. Somebody says, "Does that bother you? Does that bother you?" And I said, "No, it doesn't bother me. Does anything bother you?" And I told him, "You know what I tell him? I could eat a ham sandwich on a bulldozer at a landfill. It would not bother me a bit."
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the way I always kind of think of that. You know, it's not that big a deal.
When I worked with you for a brief amount of time, the thing that would bother me was pus.
Yeah.
Anything with pus.
It has an odor. It has an odor on itself. Yep. Yep.
It's terrible.
Yep.
I couldn't do it. Yep. Well, I like the dog food business much better.
Yeah, for the record, we see that with cats all the time. They get a bite wound and they get a big abscess, and then we'll lance that thing, and it stinks the room up.
It's so bad.
Yeah. You know, everybody that works there is like, wow, that's a lot of pus. And, you know.
Or hematomas. Hematomas are gross.
Yep. Yep, but they don't smell bad.
No, they don't.
Hematoma is a big blood, we used to call it hematomato, because it gets swollen like a tomato. It's on the inside of the ear from the dog shaking his head. They break a blood vessel. So you got to open that up and then dig all the clot out. It doesn't usually smell because it's sterile.
It's just clotted blood.
It is.
A lot of clotted blood.
Yep.
I've seen some bad ones. It's like the equivalent of cauliflower ear for people.
Well, we can talk about hematomatoes some other day. But,
yeah,
but
that's
we'll
true.
Finish this segment by saying, listen, if your dog isn't having anal gland problems, don't let anybody stick their finger in his rectum or her rectum and do that. And if you're having problems and it's on the weekend and you're at home and you want to express anal glands, put them in neutral, grab a paper towel, 4:30 and 7:30.
And pinch.
Squeeze, yep. And then make sure you can get that thing in a receptacle out in your garage someplace, not in the house.
Exactly. All right, moving to our next topic of label lies.
Oh, wow.
So, wrapping it up. So, I have a very popular treat.
Okay.
I'm going to read you some of the ingredients from this treat. And you can tell me what you think.
Yep.
First is wheat flour.
Yep. Wheat flour, I mean, if you got a dog with allergies, wheat flour is probably a no-no. Because I think wheat is one of the three most condemned things, beef, milk, and wheat. I talk about that all the time. Wheat is third. It's not first or second on the list. Wheat is third. And it's a bearded grain, obviously, and it's got a fair amount of protein in it. So,
wheat starch.
Yeah, that's no.
Glycerin.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Corn flour.
It's all right. I don't see dogs very allergic to corn flour. I don't see dogs allergic to corn in general.
Okay, water.
Yeah, this must be a moist treat.
Yeah. So for everyone listening, just so we can clarify, when they list the ingredients on the treat, it's listed most to least.
Yeah, pre-cooked.
Pre-cooked.
Yep. So if you wanted to have a watermelon dog food, you put all these stuff in there and then you put your 80 watermelons. Mm-hmm. But by the time you get done cooking the watermelon down, watermelon's down around 5th or 8th or 9th or 12th. Because watermelon's mostly water. So it'd be way down the list, although pre-cooked. And that's the way we look at them, pre-cooked. So when they put stuff in there, in fact, my big pet peeve is deboned chicken. Some people
you
are really...
hate deboned chicken.
I hate deboned chicken. So, I know. So all you people that think deboned chicken is actually probably a lot of chicken skin. And DNA-wise, it is chicken. But it's usually 80% water pre-cooked. So when you cook it off, now it's only...
Because they use a hydraulic sieve to get everything off the...
And they towed it around.
Off the bones.
I understand. I've never seen a tanker with this stuff, but my understanding is they towed it around in tankers because it's liquid.
Yep. All right. The next ingredient is chicken flavor.
Okay.
What is chicken flavor?
It's just that, chicken flavor. Somebody develops a flavor and it's chicken. Doesn't mean it's chicken. It means it's chicken flavor. There may not be any chicken protein in there, but there's the flavor.
I don't even know what this ingredient is. Gum arabic?
Yeah.
Arabic?
Yeah, you know, not sure what that is either, but...
probably shouldn't be in a treat.
Yeah, probably shouldn't be in a treat.
Soy flour. There's just a lot of types of flours in this treat.
Yeah, this is a grain treat. So
okay.
It's a grain treat. So if you're grain-free, folks, not your cup of tea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sodium triphosphate.
Yeah, well, it's...
Salt?
Yeah, sodium... phosphate salt, so, yep.
Calcium carbonate.
Tums.
What?
It's Tums.
What?
Yeah. That's what Tums is, calcium carbonate.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Is it good for dogs?
I don't know. I mean, I see no real reason to put it in there unless you're trying to contribute to this dog's well-being by putting enough calcium in there. You know, there are not very many dogs that have demineralization conditions, but calcium carbonate's fine. You know, calcium carbonate would be something you might give a dog that's had puppies.
Yeah.
And you want to increase the calcium to them because they had more calcium needs now.
Okay. Cellulose powder.
Yeah, it's fiber.
Gelatin.
Yeah, it's just to make it hold it together probably.
Potassium chloride.
Well, that's what it is. Potassium chloride is a mineral combination, potassium and chloride.
And then we have potassium sorbate, which is a preservative.
Yep.
Zinc sulfate.
Yeah, it's a source of zinc. We use it a little bit of that in our foods to inhibit. So we're worried about copper. So what we do is we understand you're going to buy our food and you might buy a can of canned dog food in the grocery store and you put it in there and it has copper sulfate or protonaceous copper in. So we put a little extra zinc in ours so that the zinc and the...
Binds to the copper?
No, we add a little compete for uptake.
Oh.
So it really what it does is... So the door's about so wide you can only get so many people through at a time. And that's what we're doing. We're just limiting the amount of that that'll be absorbed.
Hmm. All right. And then the last is artificial smoke flavor.
Just a flavor, man. So this is kind of a funky treat in my estimation. You know, and really what you'd like to do is you'd like to have treats that are kind of simple. And of course, that's why we like apples, bananas, and carrots, because it's kind of simple. When you open up an apple, unless it's Halloween, there's nothing in there other than the apple.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but in the old days, people used to put needles and stuff in there for kids that were...
bad?
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
Wait, what?
Yeah, this happened. Needles? This happened when I was a kid, so on Halloween...
Did you get a needle apple?
Well, we wanted a peanut butter cup or chocolate, but every once in a while people were handing out apples. And then there would always be some, not always, but occasionally you'd read about some SOB that put a needle in there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of sick people. Believe it or not, a needle may find its way all the way through the bowel without getting hung up someplace. So, and I've seen, in fact, I had one time, I had a case, I don't mean to change the subject.
No, you're good.
Yeah, but I had a... veterinarian brings his cat back and says, I want this cat opened up because it's got a needle in it. And I'm like, hey, that needle will probably find its way out without having to do it surgically. She said, well, I told the client we're going to take it out. I said, okay, that's fine. And so I go in there, and lo and behold, the needle had pierced the bowel, and it was sitting in there. But it didn't make a hole, no. I mean, it just, and there was thread on it, and it had the end of the thread coming through, and here was a needle sitting in there. So this enterotomy involved doing, grabbing with obvious gloves on, grabbing the needle and pulling it out. Didn't even have to sew up the hole because it was
so fine,
so small hole.
Yeah.
So that was the right call by that veterinarian. That was, and I should have been slapped for telling her not to do it.
Oh my goodness, that is wild.
Yeah, and
why would a cat eat a needle?
I don't think I've ever seen that again in my life. But a lot of times you'll see it. In fact, every once in a while you see a needle, and I tell them, well, give them a lot of white bread, see if it'll just slide through. You know, if it's a decent sized dog, it'll just get incorporated in the bread and keep on going. You know,
it'll
wind its way through and come out the rectum.
I don't think I want that.
We used to see, you know, back in the days, you don't remember this. Back in the days, we used to see icicles. They'd put icicles on Christmas trees. It was kind of this silver stuff that.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. So, and people come in the clinic and they'd have icicles hanging out the dog's rear end and stuff. So you'd have to figure out whether you had to go in surgically remove those. Sometimes you did. But I haven't seen that in forever.
Really?
And I'm glad I haven't.
Because the trend's over.
Yep, trend's over. Yep. I mean, you still eat crap. Well, if they eat a Christmas ornament, you know how that thing, there's a little thing in there that expands?
Mm-hmm.
So they'll chew that Christmas ornament up and eat the whole damn thing. And then that thing will be stuck in there and expands in the bowel and doesn't go any further. So I've taken those out before.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty easy to see them on x-ray.
Do you have certain dogs that eat more than others? Like I feel like labs would be eating everything.
They eat everything, yeah. And we talked a little bit that they like to eat undergarments and stuff.
Yeah.
Only, for the most part, after you've worn them. They don't want to eat a
clean.
They don't want to eat something that smells like downy. No, they'll wait till somebody's had them on for a while, and they have that, you know, socks are the same way. You know, feet smell, they get those off and they start chewing and they think, well, it'd be fun to eat it. So
Ella's a sock chewer.
Yeah, well, we paid for our house with those episodes. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yep. Well, there you go.
Yep.
Well, another great episode today.
Yep. Well, it was fun today. I always kind of stray off and stuff, but I try
to find
my way back to the field of play.
That is completely okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So let's get a little outro music, shall we? There you go. Hey, appreciate you guys showing up today. And hopefully you know a little bit more about anal glands than you did when we started. And if you real enterprising individuals want to squeeze your dog's own rectum and knock yourself out, because quite frankly, we'd just as soon have you do it than us. And just remember, we're being advocate for your dog and cat. So that's all your animals, really, for that matter. We're being advocate for all your animals. And if you have any special questions, you call Ben and we'll try to get them answered for you, okay?
Yeah, and if you guys have any questions that you'd like us to talk about in a longer length, please submit them to our Instagram account, Voyager Dog Food Co.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, bye-bye.